You're asking about this, these, in this illumination on Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam, how these last verses, the last two verses are about prema. Yagayitam nimeshena chakrusha parvishayitam shanyayitam jagatsavam govinda vihaname. And of course, prema is a function of yoga maya, of the Swarup Shakti, the Lord, internal potency. And before that is bhav. And bhav is described in this Shikshastikam in the sixth verse. Nayanam Garudashudarya Varanam Gadgara Vriya Gira Kulakarnishitam Bhagavata Tamanav Grahmane Vivishiti. So at the level of bhava bhakti, one has some, at least if you apply these verses to the sadhaka, because they apply to Radharani, because this Radharani is praying these verses, Mahaprabhu's and Radhabhav, Mahabhav, and Gambira, crying out to Nanda Nandan. So there's internal meanings and also a meaning for the sadhaka, which would be the Adi Atmaka Vichar, the reader's viewpoint, or the sadhaka's viewpoint. So in sadhana, before we actually meet the Lord and realize our personal eternal relationship with the Lord, we're obviously in separation. Like before you meet your before you meet someone you're going to live with and love for the rest of your life, you're separated. So you may hear about that person, or see pictures of that person, or read about that person, or hear descriptions of that person. And that increases your attraction, increases your knowledge and understanding, and inspiration to meet that person and to love and serve that person forever. So that's the cultivation of sadhana bhakti through raganuga sadhana and apta bhava. So until one gets at the level of bhava bhakti, one realizes something of his eternal relationship, his sthayi bhava, his eternal loving mood towards Krishna, is realized then by the mercy of the Parishads, the Lord. Bhava bhakti descends from their hearts into our heart and gives some revelation. And the general mood is separation. So separation from our side, we're separated. It's not exactly viparlamba bhava, but it's just a mood of separation. There's bhava, there's intense feelings, preliminary love. Then you're feeling separated, then it increases your surrender, increases your attachment, increases your smaran and service to the Lord. And finally, that bhava matures and develops into prema. At the level of prema, then one fully realizes his eternal loving relationship with Krishna. So then one has, in his, because at the level of prema, then one, the leelas fill your mind, the leelas of Krishna fill your mind. And you see your siddhadeya, and you can have spurtis or visions of Krishna's leela. Concentrated and extended visions of Krishna's astakali leela, and you're there, and Krishna's there, and Radha, and the sakis and mandris, and you're rendering service there in your siddhadeya, or siddhasarup, so you feel the full happiness and pleasure of serving directly. Sambhog means direct enjoyment, enjoying together. So sambhog, so that's from the sadhaka's viewpoint. When it comes to prema, then there's a full meeting with Krishna. Sambhog, complete meeting, complete enjoyment. There's no more separation. But from Krishna's level, the river of prema has two banks. The embankment of separation, there's a book like that written by Gaura Govinda Swami. The embankment of separation, the embankment of meeting. Sometimes Radha and Krishna meet. Sambhog means all the pastimes of enjoying together. When they come together and enjoy from the most intimate settings of Rati Keli or conjugal amorous love to Julan Leela, swing pastimes or water splashing or playing dice or wandering in the forest or Ras Leela, playing music or reciting poetry or all these different pastimes, joking, speaking, laughing, joking together, singing together. These are all sambhog. But then sometimes they're separated and there's different categories or degrees of separation. That's on the adidaivika level, on the transcendental level. In the spiritual world, under the full arrangement of yoga maya, sometimes we're separated by distance, short distance or long distance, or there's purvarag, and then there's man, where Radharani shows an unfavorable attitude, or pouting or sulking mood towards Krishna, with a cause or without a cause. This prema vaichitya, which is a feeling or mood of separation, even if one is sitting right on the lap of the beloved. Usually Radharani experiences this type of separation due to some words or language. Madhusudan is gone. Oh, and she starts crying. Even though it's about a bumblebee, she takes it to mean Krishna and thinks he's gone. And she becomes Brahm, bewildered, crying, oh, where is he gone? When will he come back? And all the while she's sitting on his lap. So it's like an illusion created by Yoga Maya to enhance the prema and to enhance Krishna's pleasure to see the extraordinary expression of Radharani's intense attachment and different moods. And so Viparlamba nourishes Sambhog. There are two sides of the same coin. Not that one retires and the other. One serves a purpose and then retires and doesn't exist anymore. Viparlamba and Sambhog are just like the river is always flowing. It's always touching both banks. There's two banks on the river, two sides of the river, and the river's touching both banks. So the river of prema has two banks, separation and meeting. They're always meeting, they're always separation. When they're meeting, they're fearing separation. When they're separated, then they meet. Also, they meet in meeting, union and separation, separation and union. This is Vraja Prema. So that's on that level, on Radhakrishna's level, on the eternal associates. But the pure devotional service of Vrindavan, it's called Vraja Vishuddha Prema. It's like the golden particles in the river Jambu. In Vrindavan, there's not a trace of personal sense gratification. It is to advertise such pure love in this material world that Mahaprabhu has written the previous verse and explained its meaning. Let Krishna tightly embrace his maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee after all, and can do whatever he likes, but he is still no one other than the worshipful Lord of my heart. So for the sadhaka, he's separated in the level of Vaidhi sadhana, Raghunuga sadhana, even bhav. He has not had sakshat darshan of the Lord. He has not directly met the Lord or seen the Lord deeply in his meditation. There's no spurti or visporti. Spurti and visportis and sakshat darshan, they all come at the level of higher level, intense, condensed bhava, or at the level of prema. And then prema itself, when a sadhaka or devotee attains Krishna prema, it's called sarup siddhi. Sarup siddhi. He attains the perfection of realizing a sarup and entering into meditating in eternal pastimes, and they seem as if real. But then he feels so much separation from the Lord that he's always crying out, where is my Lord? Ha, ha, Guranga, ha, Radha. Kotai go prema mai, Radhe, Radhe. Where is my Radharani? Like Raghunath Das and Vilap Kusumanjali, is so much crying out. Sometimes seeing a sporty and having a vision, seeing Radharani and Krishna's Leela in his mind and his siddhadeya as a mandri, he's there and he's rendering service, brushing Radharani's hair, painting lakdai in her feet, that red coloring. And he's absorbed in it, and Krishna's there, and Rupa Mantri's there, and he's there, and Radharani's there. And all of a sudden, he loses that vision, and he wails and falls on the ground, crying, oh, how unfortunate I am. I was there in the Leela, and now I'm separated. I can't live in this world. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, najivami tvayavina, iti vigaya radhi, tvam nayamam charnatikam, O Radharani, I am yours, I am yours. I cannot live without you. You are my everything. Please understand this and take me to your lotus feet for your eternal service. So there's also separation even when you come to the level of prema. They say that this human body cannot withstand the intensity of the emotions that prema brings. So generally the devotees give up their bodies at that time, so they can enter the womb of Vrindavan Leela of the Lord, take birth from a womb of a gopi, and grow up there, and then meet the eternal associates, Lita Vishaka, Rupa Rati, and Guru Sakhi and Guru Parampara, Sakhi Sarups, and get further training in the moods and ways and means of serving Radharani, Radhadasya. And then at that level, then he attains his Vastu Siddhi, the substantial body, substantial spiritual body. Vastu. Vastu means substance, essence. And there's no more. That Vastu Siddhi appears there, and then one leaves there in that Vastu Siddhi and enters the Nitya Lila of the Lord, never to take birth again. This material realm. Punarjanma na vidyate. So there's Swarup Siddhi, then Vastu Siddhi. So this is the hierarchy you're saying. There's levels. It's Sambhava, but there's also separation, which I mentioned in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the spiritual world. Then you're in the Leela. Then you're in your Vastu Siddhi. Finally, you're in the Vastu Siddhi, and you're in your Vastu Siddhi as a Pransakhi of Radharani, or Nityasakhi, Manjari, for example. And then you're rendering your eternal service in Astakali Leela, the eternal pastimes. But those eternal pastimes are a river of prema. And the river of prema has two banks. Sometimes they're separated, so it's Vipralamba, which I mentioned. There's four types of separation which are going on eternally in the spiritual world. And then there's so many types of sambhog which are going on eternally in the spiritual world. But that Vipralamba is not this. That's a Vipralamba prema. Vipralamba prema, sambhog prema. This Vipralamba, the sadhaka, is just separation. Forget the Vipralamba word. It's just separation. He's separated from the Lord. And in that separation, he becomes so intense, and he has a spurti, and he sees the Lord. Just like if you feel separated from someone, where is my friend? Say, oh, there he is. And you go mad in separation. That's what they do. They go mad in separation from Radha and Krishna. And they may see them in their meditation, or maybe they get some spurti or some vision for a moment. And then they feel, oh yeah, and then they feel pacified and calmed down, and they render service. And then they lose that vision or spurti. Then again they lament, vilap, and they cry. So the goal is prema, and prema has two features, separation and meeting. But to come to that level of prema, one has to go through the intense fire of ordeal, which is the fire of separation. And even in the spiritual world, there's something called purvarag. Purvarag is the feeling of separation before meeting. One hears about the one has not met intimately or met directly with the lover, but become captivated or infatuated with the beloved by seeing him or hearing his voice or hearing his flute or seeing portraits of him or hearing about his exploits or pastimes. There's contacts, although indirect and not tangible, I mean not, let's say, physical in one sense. They have completely captivated the mind and heart. So it's called purvarag, prior attachment. So that's one of the features of separation. So that goes on in the spiritual world. They feel that purvarag, oh, we haven't met before, and then we're meeting for the first time. Then they meet. It must be Bhakti Sundarva. Jiva Goswami is saying that there's unlimited spiritual bodies in the spiritual world lying dormant, which I mentioned the other day. In other words, for every conditioned soul, there's a spiritual body for him. But somehow he hasn't chosen that. It's not, sometimes the philosophy is heard or propagated, we are in Krishna's lila, and we became envious of Krishna, we left. This is not really exactly what it is, from what I understand. If you look at Jiva Dharma and look closely in Prabhupada's books, that because the jiva itself, by constitution, is tatastha. And the spiritual world is antaranga. The spiritual world is all Swarup Shakti. And we are tatastha Shakti. We are not Swarup Shakti, we are tatastha Shakti. That's the jiva. So there's Nitya Bhada Jivas and Nitya Mukta Jivas. So the Nitya Mukta Jivas, they're tatastha. The point of origin of we, ourselves, is Mahavishnu. We didn't leave the spiritual world to come to the material world. This is my understanding from what I've studied. Our point is we have manifested from the Tata region, which is between the spiritual world and the material world. You have to read more. If you read the books on my list, I have a list of books that are to be read. Initiation. You've seen that list?
Yeah.
So you should read those. There's, and they've been divided into categories, three levels or three categories or something. Four. If you read those books, and then you ask questions. Otherwise, what's the point of giving a reading assignment? And then you just sit around and ask questions all day and night. And the books give very clear explanation of these things. So then when there's, after reading the books, then you ask the teacher. If you don't read it, you come in and just say, well, oh, this is Biology 101. Can I want to ask some questions. Have you read any of the textbook? No, it's not fair to the teacher. Purpose of having satsang is to clarify doubts about scripture or doubts about bhajan. Not just to randomly ask any question here and there and everywhere. It's not very effective. It's not the way it works. That's like when Prabhupada would give a lecture. And sometimes after a lecture he would ask questions. That's only in the beginning. Later on he didn't take questions. After 73 he wouldn't even take questions. 66 to 71, or for a few years he was taking questions. Now you listen to any tapes, if you ever listen to Prabhupada's lecture tapes, you don't hear any questions. He gives a lecture. I've listened to 30, 40 lectures in Los Angeles in 75, 76. And before that, it's the same way. He gave a lecture for a half hour, Bhagavatam class. And then even say, he would lean over and say, what time? Half hour? Oh, okay. Thank you very much. He would just say, thank you very much. And everybody would say, Jaya Prabhupada. Of course, this half hour class was so powerful. And so realized and so penetrating. But when he was entertaining questions, and someone asked him a question that wasn't on the point of the class, he wasn't very happy. He was rather disturbed. What is this? You should ask a question on the point of the class. So in the same way, I want you to read the scriptures and then ask questions, which you're doing, it's okay, on the scriptures. But the jiva manifests from Mahavishnu, and then he comes into the pradhan. And the way it's described is that eternally, the Nityabuddha Jiva, we're conditioned. We're in this material world. Obviously, we're not liberated because we're in this conditional situation. And when the Jiva manifests, he can see on two sides. He sees the Antaranga Shakti and the Bahiranga Shakti. He sees the Maya potency and the Mahamaya and Yogamaya because he's on the border. He's on the border, the Tatta, the region of land between the dry sand and the ocean. There's a part where it's a little bit wet, where the water wave comes like that and goes back. It's wet. So it's not water and it's not dry. It's just where the wave came and left the sand a little wet. That's called tata. So one side is the ocean. So the jiva manifests on that line, that border line, that border, that tata, that bank. The bank of the border, the tata, that border line. And then somehow he's attracted. He's just attracted to one side or the other. And he comes to the material side. And then he enters into Krishna's Srishti Leela. That's his choice. He's given that choice, that freedom of choice. So he uses that choice. And he comes here and becomes conditioned. And he tries to... First position he usually takes is Brahma. That's what they say. He becomes an enjoyer. You know, so how... Say, somehow or other, he becomes wise. And some... Because there's Nityabhada Jivas and Nityamukta. They're all coming from Tatastha region. So Nityamukta, they come, they expand from Mahavishnu also, like we, and they look to the Antaranga Shakti, and they go that way. They have choice. And it's Jivas, Jivas from Tatastha region, the Tatastha Jivas, or they, you can say the Jiva Shakti, they have built-in capacity for choice, to choose Maya or Yogamaya or Mahamaya. And then they just, then, but they have, but lying there, if they ever choose to use it, there's a spiritual body. This is basically what it said. It's not that we that was us and we left it and came here. It's just there. And then, and it's kind of like, okay, we'll keep one for you. And we have a wedding outfit for you already made. And if you ever decide to get married, you come home and we'll give you the wedding outfit. But if you don't, then, so it's like that. You have a spiritual outfit there. So when you turn your face in that direction and you become just like the Nityamukta Jivas, when they glance in that way, then they pick up their spiritual body and they go in the spiritual world, that's it. And they're Nityamukta Jivas. and their Siddhadeya, serving the Lord. But everyone's serving, either that can't avoid serving because everything's Krishna. So we're also serving, but we're thinking due to a dream or due to an illusion, we think we're the masters. And we're trying to imitate God and created it, perverted. You know, we've arranged this world in such a way that we can and try to enjoy without God. But even this is part of his Leela, Srishti Leela, his creation Leela. Then he comes here to liberate us. So many avatars, so many incarnations, so many acharyas, so many Shaktivesh personalities, jivas that have that are invested with potency to do a particular purpose. Vyasadeva was invested with literary potency, so Shakti Avesh. Parasaram was a jiva, he was given potency to kill the Kshatriyas, and when Ram came, he withdrew the potency, and then he had no more power, and he went to the Himalayas to meditate. That you're the prime minister and you have so much power. When you're not the prime minister, you're just an ordinary guy in the street. When you're not the prime minister, you can't walk into the North Block in Delhi and say, listen, we should attack Pakistan. Get all the armies and attack Pakistan. Who are you? You're nobody. You're not invested with power now. When you're a prime minister, you have a lot of power. So it's Shakyavesh, so they can do so many wonderful things. So this, the Lord, he loves us, so although we made that choice, because he created us that way, why we made the choice? That's our free will. And free will, we had the choice. And so he said, oh, you made the wrong choice. Okay, then I'll help you turn your head back around the right way. So then he comes. But still, it's a choice again, to choose God or not God. Most people choose to stay here and suffer. Although they know they're suffering, but they can't, they don't want to. As it says in, I don't know where it said, but it's a saying maybe in the Bible or some discussion with Satan. And Satan or the devil or whatever, Kali, whatever you want to say, he said, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. So this is people's moods. So we say we'd rather serve in the spiritual world than reign in the material world. Lord it over, we'd rather, instead of lording it over the material world, we'd rather be a humble servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. Just like the Mayavadis, they say soham, and we say dasoham. Right? They say soham, I am that, I am God, soham. Soham. We say dasaham, dasosmi. I am Das. Dasaham. I am Das. This is our identity. Eternal identity. But somehow or other, as they say, we're here. And Krishna's given us a facility to go there. But the general consensus of what I understand is that because the whole spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, is made of love. It's an abode of love. Everyone's serving willingly and lovingly. So if you're in the ocean, if you're in the middle of the ocean, where is there room for a desert? There's water everywhere. You can't say, oh, there's a desert in the ocean. The ocean means water everywhere, in all directions. So everyone is in bliss. Everyone's in their spiritual form. There's no law, there's no insufficiency there, there's no lacking there, there's no conditions there. No one's saying, oh gee, I wish I was Krishna. And sometimes this is presented just in a simplistic way because people think in these kind of Christian terms, cast down from heaven or something, the devil. But it's all Krishna's leela. He has his, it's all his energies, it's all the play of Krishna's energies, it's the wave and vibration of Krishna's energies. He has his external energies, his internal, and something in between. And they're all going on eternally. And there's some movement. Because those personalities in the spiritual world, they have no there's no awareness of Maya. They don't see the external energy. They don't know it exists. So how can they choose it? they can't see it. There's not to be seen. Never heard about it. Never saw it. Never see it. In all directions, there's only Krishna's service, and all associates of Krishna, and all the chit dham, in every direction, in all 360 possible degrees, infinite degrees. It's all spiritual energy. They have no vision, no awareness, no sight, thought, anything of the external energy. So how can they come here? How can they think about it? They can't think about it. Can you think about something you never saw or heard or experienced? So we can't, so how can they? But we're different. The Tattvastha Jivas, they have this choice. They get a chance. They see both. They both look very brilliant. The material energy looks very brilliant. The spiritual energy looks very brilliant. So somehow or other, it's Krishna's fun. Leela means play. It's all God's play. You have to remember, you have to take it from a subjective viewpoint, not from His viewpoint. We're the subject, and we're the object, and He's the subject. Usually we think I'm the subjective view, but He's the subject, and we're the object. We're the object of His control. We're the object of Krishna's will, His control. It's His ball game. He's God. He made it like this. So, well, let's see, I'll make these living entities. They directly expand from my Antaranga Shakti. And all they know is me and my service in the spiritual world. And so they expand. Radharani, Balarams, thousands and thousands of coward boys and all kinds of personalities all expand from him. Ekoposham, from one becomes many. For Vilas and Leela. And all they know is to choose to serve Krishna like this or like that. To love Krishna like this or love Krishna like that. So then he's thinking, oh, this is nice, but this is a little boring maybe. Maybe I can create some living energy. Now I have this other energies. He has all these energies. Because if you're God, then you have to have limited energies and unlimited energies. If you only have unlimited energies, then you're limited. You can't be God. So you have to have limited energies. If you only have spiritual energies, what about... If you only have conscious energies, what about energy that's unconscious? Because every unit in the spiritual world is conscious. It's all made of consciousness. Let's have something that appears, well, of course everything is consciousness, even here, but let's make something that appears, that looks like it's unconscious, or insentient, like matter. Well, matter, in the ultimate issue, matter is also conscious, because it's all coming from the Supreme Consciousness. Well, that gets a little deep. But it's like when you're awake and when you're asleep, jiva is always awake, but lying in bed appears to be dull, jada. Stone-like, but inside there's consciousness, active consciousness. It looks like a dead lump of flesh on the bed, like a dead stone. But consciousness is acting, there's dreaming, there's life is there, because of consciousness. So it looks like a dead lump of earth or magnesium or copper, but inside there's consciousness. It's all expanded from the Supreme Consciousness. Because God is Supreme Consciousness. So consciousness is everywhere. Even here. But it's covered consciousness. Right? And that's all, and that's Krishna's energy. That's his pradhan, his prakriti. He's like a jadu, like a magician. He's made the material world look like it's dead and dull and goes through phases and changes, and Vishnu exhales and all comes into being for billions of years, and he inhales and all goes inside his body, all the energy. All the prakriti and pradhan, everything goes inside, and all the jivas, and they go into rest, and he exhales and comes out again. It's amazing. It's all leela. It's all Srishti leela. All expansions of expansions of expansions of Krishna, engaging in leela. Every aspect of Krishna is engaging in leela with his parts and parcels. The original Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is engaging in leela with Radha and Balaram, coward boys, mother, father. Then he expands in Chaturvyuha, and they engage in Leela. And then the Chaturvyuha expands in the Purusha avatars, and they engage in Leela. Mahavishnu's Leela, and Garbhadakshaya's Vishnu's Leela, and Shirdakshaya's Vishnu's Leela. With all their energies, and all their parts and parcels, and all their different dhams and spheres. Leela's in the atom, Leela's in the universe, Leela's in the cosmos, Leela's in the spiritual world. It's all Leela. It's a divine play, a dance, a vibration. So this energy is somewhat limited, and all the problems in this world are caused by the man, by the independence. If God was everywhere present, then this would be heaven on earth. They have phrases like this, heaven on earth. What people want, they want the kingdom of God without God, that's what Prabhupada said. They want bliss everywhere, happiness everywhere, peace everywhere, joy everywhere, health everywhere, no disease, no death, no old age. They want the spiritual world. Everyone wants this. So through science and through education, through manipulation and speculation, people try to create this kingdom of God without God. But in Satyuga, it's like the spiritual world. This world is like the spiritual world. Everywhere fruit trees, everywhere pure air, water, happy people, blissful people. Because everywhere there's consciousness of God everywhere. The atmosphere is saturated with consciousness of God. So all the animals are happy, all the nature is happy, the humans are happy. It's practically like the spiritual world in Satyuga. But there's death. There's old age, but people live a long time, so they don't really notice about it. 100,000 years they live. So when God is fully present, then one feels as if he's in the spiritual world. In one sense, it's all a matter of consciousness, changing the consciousness. Flip the switch here in the dark, and flip another switch here in the light. It's like this. So absence of God consciousness means the darkness of Maya. And when God consciousness is there, then you're in the brilliant light of his mercy. You exist in the light of his mercy, in the effulgence of his love, in the aura of his protection, and within his loving embrace. That's Leela. Leela means loving embrace. Li means lingata, and la means to accept or to take. Li, lingata, la, lingata, lo, to accept the embrace, to accept the loving embrace of Krishna. This is lila. So every neutron is embracing the electron. So the atoms are having lila. And the super soul is there playing the flute in the middle, in the middle of the atom. Shirdakshaya Vishnu is playing the flute, and all the neutrons and protons are dancing around him in a circle, holding hands. Neutrons and protons and quarks, and they're all... Quarks are like mandaris, and neutrons are like sakis, and protons are like expansions of Krishna. They're all holding hands, spinning around in circles. And that's the Rasa-lila inside the atom. Rasa-mandala is going around, and the sun is going around, and the earth is going around, everything's spinning around, dancing to Krishna's flute. Some are favorably dancing, and some are unfavorably dancing. So the whole idea of human life is to prepare to enter the Nitya-lila, Krishna.